Welcome to the Healing Hearts and Awakening Souls podcast, where we will be exploring what it means to heal from your past pain and programming so you can awaken to who it is that you truly are at the soul level. My name is Kara, and I am an intuitive energy healer, channel, and guide. I'm so excited to be on this journey with you as we activate our soul remembrance of what this human experience is all about and why you chose to be here at this time. Let's dive in. Welcome to today's episode. All right, so today I want to introduce to you guys something called human design. And if you've never heard of human design before, human design is the study of who we're designed to be in this life. Whereas I like to compare it to astrology, because I love astrology too. And astrology, I feel like, gives us themes and archetypes that will kind of give us an insight into who we are in this life. Human design, however, is more about our energetic imprint, how we are designed to energetically move about in the world. And there's five different types, and they give us a very powerful information about how we can best energetically move about in the world according to our design. It can help us to better understand how we process information, how we're designed to make better decisions, and how we interact best with others according to our own unique aura and our own unique signature. Human design is the study of who we're designed to be. It's a synthesis of ancient wisdom, such as astrology, the Chinese I Ching, the Hindu Brahman chakras, the Tree of Life, from the Zohar Kabbalist tradition, as well as more contemporary studies such as quantum mechanics, astronomy, genetics, and biochemistry. So it's a synthesis of many different aspects of how we can look at how somebody is made up and then take that information, putting it together and creating an understanding again of how we can best move about in the world and utilize our unique energetic signature. Human design doesn't ask us to believe in anything specifically, but it merely offers an opportunity to explore and experiment with the mechanics of our own unique nature and our evolving consciousness. So again, it's not to say that this is who you are and you can never change, although there are aspects that will always be true about us, but it's about understanding these aspects so we can then internalize them, integrate them, and understand again how we're designed to move about in the world and how, and we can use that information to look at our past experiences, how we're presently trying to show up in the world, and make little shifts to help us flow more easily into the natural energetic flow that is available to us. So a lot of human design is about contemplation. How does this show up for me? How can I utilize this understanding to create the experience in life that I desire to create? So as I mentioned, there's five different types. And I want to go through and just introduce to you these five types and the strategies that are unique to these five types. So every type has a strategy. The type is your aura, your energetic signature, and the strategy is related to how to utilize the understanding of your aura to strategically move about in the world and create the results you want and understand what your purpose. It gives you a better understanding of your purpose. And not so much like what you're meant to do, but how you're meant to do it, okay? And so a lot about human design is about deconditioning the human. Once we understand how we are designed to move about in the world, what often happens is I'll have clients have these incredible epiphany and aha moments of, oh my gosh, that is exactly me. That's exactly how I prefer to move about in the world, or that gives me more clarity on why I haven't been able to do the things I wanted to do in my life because I just didn't understand the most optimal way for me to try to move about in the world. And it helps us to decondition from any programming that we've received in our lives around who we're supposed to be, how we should show up, what we're supposed to be doing, and how we're supposed to be doing it. So it can be incredibly healing in that way. Now, one aspect of human design that I'm not going to get into in this episode is the energy centers, and we all have 9 energy centers, and we all have a combination of defined and undefined energy centers. These are incredibly powerful to understand uniquely for each one of us, to look specifically at which ones are defined or undefined, because it will give us a window into understanding what areas we are susceptible to absorbing programming, conditioning, thoughts, feelings, energy from others, and what areas, those are the undefined areas, and what areas we are actually emanating our own energetic signature out into the world. So we have more stable sources of energy from those places. This could be related to things like our emotions, our fears, our beliefs, our thoughts, our sense of self, our identity, many different types of energies. And each center has its own unique energetic signature. And so the areas that we are defined in are the areas that we actually give off energy. So from a soul standpoint, the defined areas are areas that maybe we're meant to be more of a, we were more meant to have more of a grounded foundation in these areas. So maybe we're meant to teach others about being more confident, or, you know, more thoughtful in the way that we think about things, or more confident in the way that we think about things, or just different experiences around creativity, having a stable source of creativity, all different kinds of things. And the undefined areas are where our soul said, I want to learn more about this. I want to be sensitive to all of the emotions, for example, or all of the different thoughts that are out there. This is incredibly powerful for our soul evolution and our growth and our progression and our ascension. And this also often translates to those that are more empathic. Oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes, the people that come to me that are incredibly empathic and sensitive will find that they have more undefined energy centers than defined energy centers. And this is incredibly empowering to know and to understand, because once you understand what areas you're absorbing other people's energy, then you can begin to see it not from a place of weakness or challenge or it being problematic, but you can recognize that at a soul level you desired to have this experience again, so you could gain wisdom in these areas. Because if we think about, you know, what catapults or catalyzes more growth and evolution, well, it's often being challenged in an area. So when we're challenged by taking on other people's energy in an area, it takes more work, and we have to do more soul searching, more inner work, in order to develop our own confidence and understanding of who we are. And then we can begin to stop absorbing and taking on others' energy as our own. And we simply become the version of ourselves that can just sense it, feel it, recognize it, but we don't necessarily take it on and carry it away with us. So there's often a progression and kind of a transformation period at some point in these different areas for people, where they start to recognize their strength and their power, and they kind of take their power back and get really familiar with their own energetic signature. And again, then they're just able to benefit from all of the wisdom that they have gained about how other people may be experiencing things, or are feeling about things or thinking about things. And it's just more information, more experience, more research for our soul to add to the incredible, makeup of who we are and what our understanding of the world is and how we understand others. And so again, when we talk about empaths and those that have chosen to have more undefined centers, it can be very challenging growing up, especially before we understand that that's what we're doing. And as children, we're just absorbing all of these things, and many people in our world are not doing the inner healing work. So of course that would translate to a lot of negative programming. And at some point we decide that, okay, this isn't who I really am. This isn't how I really want to be. And we start that journey, that healing and awakening journey of reclaiming our own energy and who we are. So I'm not going to go in depth with those today. I may do that on a later podcast episode, but I just want to touch on that really powerful aspect of human design. It's one of my favorite things to talk about. But today I want to give you guys just a general understanding of the five different types and the five different strategies of those types. And so if you would like to look up your human design chart so that you can follow along and know which type you are, I recommend you go to jovianarchive.com. That's J-O-V as in Victor, I-A-N as in Nancy, archive, A-R-C-H-I-V-E.com. Or you can visit geneticmatrix.com. And I'll put those links in the notes for you guys. You can just click on that and get a free human design chart. And some of the websites offer free reports, I believe, as well. But this will give you at least access to your type and your strategy. And the information that you need to have in order to get that is your birth date, your birth time, and your birth location. Now, if you don't know your exact time, you can try to estimate. Just know that, you know, there are aspects of the chart that could potentially change. Even if you're off by, say, a minute, it just depends on where in the timeline the aspects of the chart shift. And so some days, I did a chart for a friend who didn't know what time she was born. There wasn't anyone left for her to ask. It wasn't on her birth certificate. And so I just did a check of the whole day, and it really only mattered if she was born between 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. Otherwise, for the whole rest of the day, we were pretty confident of what her chart would look like. Other days, it might matter more. There might be a lot of different shifts in that day. It's just different for everybody. So if you don't know your time, just do your best guess and just know that there may be aspects of the chart that could change if the time is put in incorrectly. All right, so the five energy types are manifestor, manifesting generator, generator, projector, and reflector. Okay, and I'm going to go through each one of these. I'm going to start with manifestor only because the manifestors are really the ones that are here to get things initiated. So from like a timeline standpoint, or if you were to step back and look at the whole inner workings of all five types together, you're going to start with a manifestor. A manifestor has to initiate an idea, initiate the energy. They have the ability to initiate. So their auras are known to be closed and repelling. And what that just means is that they're essentially, the closing of the aura is like, not that they're completely shut off, because no human is just completely shut off. That wouldn't really make sense. But they are not necessarily here to take on other people's ideas or to do other people's bidding, so to speak. Their aura, again, closed and repelling, is designed to allow them to move forward with their own ideas, their own projects, their own intuitions, their own insights, their own inspirations. So that closed and repelling aura really allows them to push their way through all of the other narratives, all of the other things going on, all of the other energy in order to put their ideas out into the world. Okay, only about 10% of the population at this time are manifestors. My twins are actually manifestors, and it's quite interesting. Some of the strengths of a manifestor are that they can be energetic, they can be driven, they are powerful and influential, they're usually successful, they can be impulsive and mysterious. Weaknesses of the manifestor are anger and irritability, being self-absorbed, maybe not so much of a team player, impatient, and secretive. And so the weaknesses of the manifestor really tie into their strategy, and we'll talk about that. So as I mentioned, manifestors are here to initiate ideas. However, they do not have sustainable energy, unlike some of the other types. So while they're here to kind of get things going, initiate energy, they can be very forceful, powerful, potent in that beginning stage. They may not have the sustainable energy to necessarily carry out the project or carry out the idea. And so typically for a manifestor, having like a Monday through Friday 9-to-5 job is going to be exhausting for them because they don't have that sustainable energy. If they get faced with that kind of schedule, they might become very overwhelmed very easily and even angry, because anger is their not self theme. So not self is just any time that we're operating outside of our type and our strategy, we're going to find ourselves in those not self themes, whatever yours is. And those are specific to the types and strategies as well. This type can also have a very powerful energy and presence, as I mentioned, and sometimes they can have a very powerful voice too. You know, when they speak, people listen. I know, for example, my twins, they're just very loud. They're very loud. You always are going to hear them when they speak. They don't have a quiet volume. And for the longest time, that was just frustrating. And then when I understood they were manifestors, it was like, oh, well, okay, that does make sense. Still a little annoying, but makes sense, right? They can be a little bit in their own world, not realizing their effect of that their driven focus might have on others. And that really ties into their strategy. So their strategy is to inform. Because if you think about somebody that has this kind of closed and repelling aura, kind of makes you think that, well, people aren't really going to want to be around them, right? So it's really important for manifestors to inform. And what that means is just to kind of pave a way for their energetic energy to move forward, their ideas to move forward. They have to communicate with the people around them. Hey, I had this idea. I'm going to go do XYZ. Just to kind of allow other people into their experience so that others don't feel like they're just on the outside. They have no idea what's going on. The manifestor doesn't care about them or their ideas, or, you know, they might feel left out if the manifestor is always just going out and initiating their ideas and their projects, because again, they're kind of in their own little world. So they do tend to do that. So by communicating with those around them, informing other people around them, and as children, this would look like asking permission. And I find it so fascinating because you know, many people walk around without any understanding of their type or strategy or their human design. And yeah, I've noticed that many people at some point or another do start to naturally, or maybe intuitively, start to notice like, oh, when I do this, I get a much better result. And then some people don't realize it, and it can be very frustrating for them. But my daughters, they do ask permission most of the time for the littlest things. You know, my daughters will come in and say, hey, Mom, can I take a shower? And I'm like, well, of course you can take a shower. I don't care if you take a shower. And when I'm really busy, I can get frustrated and be like, why are you interrupting me to ask me that? But then I think, oh, they're just following what, even though they don't even realize it, they're following their natural tendency to inform in order to just pave the way energetically. So that's really important from a manifestor standpoint. Again, I'm just going to go over the general aspects of each of these to give you guys an idea. So next I'm going to talk about the generators. And the generators are a much larger percent. They're about 70% of the population. Now within that 70% are also 35% manifesting generators. So what does that leave us with? Is that like about half? Yeah, that's half. Half are just pure generators and half are manifesting generators. And I'll talk about the two different ones. So generators are the ones that get to take the ideas that the manifestors create, and it doesn't just have to come from a manifestor. The generator's strategy is to respond, though. So they're going to respond from some sort of external stimuli. You know, they could just watch a video and then suddenly get an inspiration for an idea of something to do. So while the manifestor can literally just pull ideas out of nowhere, a generator generally has to be kind of inspired by something in order to activate their sacral, which is one of the energy centers, and all generators have defined sacral centers, and that's the center that gives them sustainable energy. So they have to respond from that sacral center, and then when the response is, yes, that's a good idea, then they have the sustainable energy to go out and carry out the project or carry out the idea. These are our labor workers. These are our people that just go, go, go. They're always on the run. They're always doing. They have that sustainable energy. They have a lot of energy that they have to utilize every day or else they'll have difficulty sleeping at night. And they're just here to do and get things done. So they can experience burnout, however, if they say yes to things that are that their sacral is not saying yes to. If somebody asks them to join them in the creation of something or doing something or helping them out with something, and the generator doesn't, they have that internal response of, oh, I don't really want to do that, but they do it anyway. Now they're going to risk burning out because the energy is being used not in an aligned way. So it's really important for generators to be able to listen to that sacral response, but it kind of goes against how our world is designed, right? We're designed to just think like we have to go get the best paying jobs or do certain things in order to be successful. So we have all this conditioning around what we should be using our energy for, but it's really important for generators to truly listen to that internal response to decide if something is aligned for them or not. And with the Great Awakening, with the evolution and the ascension process, we're going to be moving more and more and more into a life experience where generators will have the freedom to truly choose to do what they desire to do at the soul level, at that sacral energetic response level. And it will become more aligned with a lifestyle of doing what we love and that being enough, that also creating abundance, instead of doing what we think we have to do. And as I mentioned, the generator strategy is to respond. So they're always responding to their environment. And and it's really important for them to always be listening to that sacral yes or no. Is this deep inside, do I feel like this is aligned for me or not? Do I have the energy to do this or not? Okay, so the manifesting generators then are a little bit of a combination of both. So they can have the ideas, but they also still need to wait for some sort of external situation to really spark that sacral energetic response and inspiration to follow through. I happen to be a manifesting generator, and I can attest to this. You know, I do have many ideas. I have lots of ideas. Actually, I forgot to mention the strengths and weaknesses. So let me go back. The strengths and weaknesses for the generators, sorry guys, I'm going to back up a second. Our strengths are energetic, master of their work, because if they, the interesting thing about generators is if, say, they stay like in the same similar field for a long period of time, they may have periods where they're super inspired and energetic, but then there may be a lull. But if they can kind of hang on and wait for the next thing to come along to spark that inspiration again, and that can happen over and over and over again in a similar field, they have this potential for mastery of a certain area. They have that sustainable energy, and they can be very self-aware. Some of the weaknesses are often frustrated, quits too soon, can't just make it happen, and feel stuck. And that's an important thing to bring up, the can't just make it happen, because we're taught, especially in the work that I teach, is that we're manifestors, right? If you want something in life, go out and get it. Yet generators can't necessarily just create those things for themselves. They have to wait for that something to spark their energy, spark their inspiration, and spark that yes response. So that can be really frustrating for generators, and that's why their not self theme is frustration. So the strengths and the weaknesses for the manifesting generators are strengths are energetic, can do many things at once. Manifesting generators are good multitaskers, and they probably get energized off of multitasking. They're good at finding shortcuts, they're very self-aware, and they have that sustainable energy, again, when it's an aligned choice. Weaknesses can be anger and frustration, so combining the not-self themes of the manifestors and generators. They tend to skip important steps, and they can be impatient as well. They don't like to wait. They might try to make things happen, and they don't always finish what they start. Now, even though that's listed as a weakness, it's important to point out that that's actually a characteristic of the manifesting generators. And from the human perspective, we see it as a weakness, but I think it's incredibly empowering to recognize that that's actually a characteristic of the manifesting generator and that they are actually designed to start lots of ideas. And that's part of how, right, they get that spark. Because, as an example, when I have a program idea for my work, for my service work, I get really excited about all of my ideas. But if I don't get a response from the people around me, from my audience, from potential clients, if I don't get that response that somebody's really interested, it's almost like the energy dies. I don't have anything to respond to. I don't have anything to energetically like bounce off from. So that really plays into to how that's experienced. And then the other thing is that because manifesting generators tend to be so energetically sustainable, but also they're very fast thinkers, and so they want to get to the end result quickly, and oftentimes they can skip important steps. So if you were to look at a generator compared to a manifesting generator, and let's say they both started a new job at the same place, the generator may appear to be learning more slowly, but the manifesting generator might get a lot really quickly, but then they're going to kind of peter out. They might miss a few things. They might have to pause and go back and reread stuff or, revisit things. Whereas the generator is just going to a little bit more slowly, but more intentionally plod along. So the manifesting generator's strategy is a combination of informing people, because again, they can be very quick to want to put their ideas out into the world, and so communication is key. There a unique aspect of the manifesting generator strategy is to visualize, because they're one of their powers is that manifestation ability, but yet they still need something to kind of interact with that idea and create a response for them. Visualizing what they desire to be creating or to have or to experience will help them to, create a framework around it, but also help to open themselves up energetically to the opportunity to get that experience that they have something to respond to, right? So when we talk about visualization, it's a part of manifestation. So you're essentially trying to manifest the experience so that you can respond to it. Manifesting generators, I'm sorry, going back to generators, their auras are open and enveloping. So even though they have to wait for something to respond to, their aura is literally designed to bring in ideas, open and inviting, wanting ideas, and enveloping. So open, receiving ideas, and kind of just like taking them in, and then they get to decide if it's right for them or not. So that energetic experience is one of attraction. Okay, so sometimes when people that are generators, especially because they love to go, 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 and this is the same for manifesting generators, can hear the fact that their strategy is to respond and feel stifled. But they need to understand that their aura is literally designed to attract those experiences for them to respond to. So if they can just kind of relax and be in the flow of their experience, that can happen a lot more fluidly. So the manifesting generators are great at initiating energy. And although they're good at getting a lot accomplished, it's important to note that not all of their ideas are meant to be carried out. So I touched on that. They're literally designed to start a lot of things, but then they get to, through that experience, decide, respond and decide, is this right for me? Is this really where I want to go? And I think it's really important to honor when we have manifesting generator children that they may want to try out a lot of things, but yet it's one of the kind of beliefs I think in our society, maybe not for everyone, but that, if you start something, you got to finish it, you got to stick with it. And yet a manifesting generator might find that really daunting and overwhelming, and it might thwart them from wanting to try new things because it's part of their design. It's part of their design to want to dip their toe in a lot of different things and then decide what's best for them. So allowing our children to have that freedom would be very empowering. All right, and so I was talking about the strategy. So visualizing and then just being willing to wait and wait for the response and then having that clarity around yes or no. Now, your authority, which should be listed in your chart, will have a lot to do with how you decide if something's right for you. We're not going to get into that today, but there is another aspect of the human design chart that gives you insight into how do I know if I'm supposed to, like, how do I know, where do I make these decisions from? Because some people, they have an emotional wave experience. Some people, it's just an internal gut knowing. There's a couple of different ways that our authority shows up, which is, again, how we access the intuitive knowing whether something is right for us or not. And then they get to respond. And then they can inform. Once they've decided, yes, I'm going to do something, no, I'm not going to do something, then they communicate that to those around them so that the people around them feel included. They're not isolating themselves and they're not seen as somebody that just doesn't really care what anyone else thinks and just does whatever they want to do. Okay, so the next one is the projector. And projectors have a focused and absorbing aura. And they are, let's see here, right now, they're approximately 21% of the population. However, it's interesting to note that, just as I was mentioning with the generators that were moving into an experience of life with this awakening and ascension, where generators can create and carry out that sustainable energy in a more self and soul aligned way, there's also going to be a fluctuation between the number of generators and the number of projectors. And the number of projectors are going to be increasing and the number of generators will be decreasing. I don't know what the timeline for that is exactly. You know, how long is that going to take for that to be noticeable? But the reasoning for it is because we're moving into a more energetic-based life experience where we're understanding more about energy, how energy works. And so through that experience, and I don't know exactly how this is going to play out or look on the human third dimensional physical, you know, plane, but we'll be operating just from a more energetic space. So we won't need quite as much of that, you know, human labor, so to speak, to get all of the little pieces done. But anyways, so let's see here. The projector strengths and weaknesses. Their strengths are managing and directing others, being insightful, being intuitive, being magnetic and attractive, and helping to focus energy to accomplish great things. So the manifestors initiate, they have the ideas and they initiate the energy. The generators carry it out. They carry out the project, they carry out the energetic, the energy, for lack of a better word. You know, they do the work. And the projectors are meant to be the leaders, the managers, the directors. They're very intuitive about other people and how they may work best or their strengths or weaknesses and who's good at doing what. They're good at directing people and understanding people. Weaknesses can include being perceived by others as lazy. They can burn out easily. They're highly sensitive. They may lack self-awareness and they can be bitter. Bitterness is their not self theme. So the interesting and maybe challenging part of being a projector, especially if you don't know that you're a projector, is that the strategy is to wait for the invitation. Projectors' auras are focused and absorbing. So they have this very potent energetic signature to them. Both of my sons are projectors. There's different kinds of projectors, which I'm not going to get into. There's mental projectors and there's emotional projectors, and there might even be another one. But my oldest, I believe, is the mental projector, and my youngest, he might be the other one. I can't remember if he's emotional or the other one. But my oldest, he's definitely a perfect example of somebody who didn't really understand his type and strategy, and would get very frustrated when he couldn't just offer his insights and offer his ideas, and they tend to not be well received. And that's because he hasn't understood his strategy of waiting for the invitation. That's so important for projectors, because they have all of this knowledge, they have all of this wisdom, they have all of this genius and direction that they're able to give with their deep understanding and knowledge of people. But it's kind of like in the healing field, or even being, intuitive or psychic. I might be able to see something about somebody, but if they're not ready to hear it, it's not going to be well received. And it's the same idea with the projectors. They have so much wisdom to offer, but if somebody hasn't asked them, "Hey, what do you think?" then it's not ideal for them to just offer up all of that wisdom. It's really important for them to wait to be asked, to be invited into the conversation. And so when this is experienced over and over again, they can become very bitter. It's so important to projectors that they're recognized, especially for projector children. And I can see how, as a young child, my son was just so headstrong and stubborn and energetic, and oftentimes his energy was just not well received by the rest of us. And so we weren't as good maybe as we could have been at recognizing, what he was trying to do, the ideas he was trying to put forward. And it's also funny to note here that, as I mentioned, my twins are manifestors, my sons are both projectors. So none of the children in my family were designed to respond. So as parents, this has been very challenging. On both sides, we have these energetic signatures of these bright little children that want to be in charge of everything, want to direct everything. They don't want to be the ones that do any of the work. They just want to tell us, their ideas about how everybody should work together and clean the house, or ideas about how everyone should be organized to clean the house. But no one really wants to do the work except my husband and I. My husband's a generator and I'm a manifesting generator. So just kind of a funny side note about that. But again, their aura is focused and absorbing. So the focused part gives them that intensity, but the absorbing part, right? So if you hear that your strategy is wait for the invitation, that can be very frustrating as well. And also another reflection of where it might not be possible for you to just go out and create what you want right then and there, like we're taught with this whole manifestation, or we're just taught like with our self goals and how to be successful, right? There's a flow to it. So if we wait to be invited into something, now they can give their genius and their ideas and their understanding of how this whole project could work best, and who's best at doing what, and how to organize the whole thing, right? So that's really important for them. Let's see, what else did I want to share about projectors? Oh, and that they can also be very sensitive. Projectors will have a combination of defined and undefined centers, but it's not uncommon to find a projector with many more undefined centers. And that is the case with my oldest. He has 7 out of the 9 that are undefined, and that's a lot. So now I know, which I didn't understand when he was younger, that he's absorbing a ton of energy from people around him. And for better or for worse, right? I think it just depends on your experience growing up, who you were around, but just to know that as a projector, part of that, remember we talked about those undefined centers allowing us to gain wisdom about people. It gives him a lot of wisdom about the people around him, but it also contributes to how he's been conditioned, the energies that he's absorbed. So from a young age, absorbing all of that energy creates your belief systems and how you see the world, and that lens through which you see the world, which we've talked about. So his perception right now, until he gets a little bit older and can gain clarity about all of this and use it for his benefit, right now he's operating from a lot of just absorbed energies and programming and belief systems from the people around him. Versus someone like myself, I actually have 8 out of the 9 energy centers defined, which I find typically to be somewhat unusual, especially for someone that's as intuitive as I am. But it also just kind of shows that, I'm here to teach. I'm here to, send my energy out into the world. Like that was really what I wanted to do in this life. I didn't really want, maybe I like to think that maybe I've had a lot of other lives where I've already gained a lot of wisdom. And so in this life, I was just like, no, I just want to take what I've gained in my other lifetimes and put it out into the world. I don't really know, but that's what I intuitively feel to be true. But the projectors are going to be very sensitive. And, but again, that gives them so much knowledge and awareness about what's going on around them and how others, could best be directed in their life and in the project or in a, something that's being created in the world. So the final type are our reflectors, and they are incredibly powerful. Reflectors are only 1% of the population. And I have had the privilege of meeting quite a few reflectors in my life so far. And so reflectors have all of their energy centers undefined, all of them. However, their aura is more of a sampling aura versus the projector that has that absorbing aura. So a projector is more likely to, again, through their undefined energy centers, absorb other people's energy. And what, especially before they recognize that this is their type and this is maybe what's happening, they probably are going to take it on as their own and think it's their own feelings, their own thoughts. And it can create a lot of anxiety, confusion, overwhelm, even depression. But for a reflector, it's more of a sampling, right? They're just kind of sampling the energies around them. And yes, it can certainly affect them, especially when you look at conditioning and programming from a young age. They're going to take on the programming of those around them, much more so than someone like myself who has way more defined centers. But they're not going to be as deeply affected as the projectors, but they are still going to be very sensitive. Just not quite to the edge that, the projectors might be affected. Strengths of a reflector can be talkative, passionate, unique, proponents for peace and prosperity, and they reflect the health of their community. Okay, that's their function. As a reflector, they sample all of these different energies to get a taste of how, if you just look at like a family unit or a community or whatever kind of social environment you have, the reflector is going to reflect back the health and the well-being of the community. The weaknesses can be that they're highly sensitive. Emotional theme might be disappointment. That's their not self theme. They need consistency. And they may struggle to stay grounded, and they may appear to be clingy. Oftentimes, these weaknesses are really like a reflection of when we're in our not self theme. So it's not that you're prone to having those weaknesses. It's more of just a benchmark of when you're experiencing those weaknesses. Then you can recognize, like, okay, where am I trying to show up that in a way that's outside of my type and my strategy. So the challenging part for reflectors is that their strategy is to wait a 28-day lunar cycle to make decisions, which I, from my perspective as a manifesting generator, someone that's like, I like to do things quickly. To me, that's just mind-boggling. But my mom is actually a reflector, and I can see how I wouldn't necessarily say, what I think is that reflectors, yes, they benefit very much from that 28-day cycle, especially with big life decisions. But I think that they also create kind of some coping skills around making decisions a little bit faster just by understanding their nature. So, for example, if I want my mom to watch the kids, I know that I need to ask her way in advance. She just needs that time to process. She's always going to say yes unless she has something on her calendar, but it's just really beneficial for her to know that that's coming and to really kind of mentally and emotionally prepare herself for it. She is very sensitive, so having the kids around can be very overstimulating for her. It can be overwhelming for her. Not that she doesn't love to do it, but again, having that ability to give her time to mentally prepare for it is just incredibly beneficial. So actually, their unique aura is resistant and sampling, meaning that despite the fact they have all the undefined centers, they actually are not as prone to the conditioning, as I mentioned, in only sampling what is, you know, kind of out there. But they're also, you know, that just that resistant part is, I think, what keeps them from really like taking on the energy and taking it with them. They also, in a ideological sense, this isn't as easy to create in the real world that we are living in now. But ideally, a reflector would be really deemed as the source of wisdom for the community. They enjoy a lot of alone time. They really recharge from being alone because they get to kind of expel or release any energies that they've taken on for the day. And that is exactly my mother as well. Every evening, you know, at a certain point, she would just kind of close herself up in her room, and she really needed that alone time to just kind of reset for herself. But this part of their function, the reflectors, to be able to reflect back to their community, they would be revered for that, right? They would be looked up to for that. And so ideally, a reflector is somebody that either can be at the center of the community or can be off by themselves, but either way, they're looked to say, how are we doing? Right? How are we doing as a collective? How are we doing as a whole? And again, this will be very powerfully reflected in the health areas, but also just in, you know, mental and emotional well-being. So they will often reflect back to people, you know, how they're showing up and how they're behaving as a way for that person to recognize some of the energetic signatures that they might be giving off so that they can then become aware of that and improve on that. But again, if we don't understand that that's what we're doing, then it's very hard for us to actually benefit from these different roles that we play. So that's just a general overview of the five different types and their strategies. And I touched on, you know, the energy centers a little bit. If you are interested in this and this seems like something that you would love to dive into for yourself, I do offer human design readings. And actually, at the time of this recording, which is August 23rd, 2021, my readings are at $155 for a individual reading or $333 for a family reading. And the family readings, I just offer general readings for everyone in the family, and we focus more on how can you each interact the best for, you know, to optimize your relationships and your family. And those prices are going to be changing as of September 1st. So I thought I would just throw that out there that they are on sale until September 1st. And I will put a link in the comments to my service page where you can find more information, or just actually the button that you click just allows you to actually directly reach out to me so that we could schedule your session. I love giving human design reading sessions. I just had one last week that was so powerful, and it's just amazing to see people light up and recognize aspects of themselves that maybe they've always been trying to push away, or they didn't understand. They just didn't have the clarity around why things kept happening the way that they kept happening. I know when I got my reading, it completely changed my life, completely changed my understanding of some very painful experiences that I had had in my past, and really giving a lot of clarity and wisdom to those experiences and why they played out the way that they did, why people responded to me the way that they did, answered a lot of questions for me. You can also research online. There's so much information, but I will just warn you, the thing about human design is that it can go really, really deep. So we just touched on the types and the strategies today, but there's also your authority, there's your not self theme, there's your profile, which gives also a lot of insight into the role that you came here to play. And then you can also get into the gates and the channels, and it gets really complicated really fast. So in my readings, I tend to stick to the main topics. I do touch on channels and gates just a little bit, just to give you an idea. But there's so much to explore in this area. I do find it can get overwhelming quickly. So again, if you're interested in just getting your own reading, feel free to reach out. And if you have any questions at all about human design, I'd love to hear from you guys. I love hearing your comments, your feedback about everything that we've been talking about. And actually next week, I'm doing a human design reading, and I'm going to offer next week's podcast episode, I'm gonna give you guys just the beginning of the reading itself so that you can see what it's like for someone to receive a reading and the clarity that can be gained from that experience, because I find it to be just so powerful. Okay. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you guys are doing well. Till next time.